you know, we haven't had a children's program in years and years, but we finally have one going. And I really appreciate those who help out in that, because somebody has to raise the next generation to know Jesus. And if the church doesn't do it, who will, right? Because as we all know and we see in our news, that our government and society wants to teach them all sorts of things that are ungodly and outside of God's will and plan. And so it's really a very important job. Even if you don't feel called to it, I'm blessed that you take part in it, because our children are such an important resource for the future in the kingdom of God. And so anyway, we have a couple of things this morning. And before we get to my message, I want to ask Sandy if she will come up and share her testimony. She was afraid that it's not going to come out right. How many know that it doesn't? If God does something good, it's right. That's right.
I'm a home health aide, and I've been taking care of a lady since August, and I'm there the majority of the time. So one of the ladies that came had the stomach flu and gave it to all of us and gave it to my lady. And I was staying day and night taking care of her. Well, I went in the next day, and hospice came. They had somebody called hospice in. I've taken care of a lot of hospice patients, and I knew in my heart it wasn't time for hospice to be there. And I didn't know how, you couldn't come against the family. And once hospice comes and you have a paper, and they wanted her to have morphine 3 times a day, and you got to sign your name and say that you administered it. She doesn't have cancer. She's not a cancer patient. She has a lot of mental problems. She doesn't have severe pain where she needs morphine. So in my heart and soul, I was totally, totally against it. I just could not do it. And I came on Wednesday to pray, because it was like a crossroads. Do I quit and desert her when I've been with her since day one? Do I wait and get fired because I won't give her the morphine? And it was like, you know, 3 roads. I didn't know what to do. Do I want, you know, what to do? So pastor and everybody prayed, and he goes, don't worry, God's in control. So we're sitting there, and everybody, I guess we're all thinking that I wasn't going to go back. And all of a sudden I get up and I said, I got to go back. So I went back. And then the next day, I went into work, and I didn't give her shot in the morning. And I just left it like that. I said, I'm not giving her the shot. If they fire me, then that's what's going to happen. So 2 of the daughters showed up that day. And then a hospice nurse came, and it was a different one. It wasn't the one that put her on it, the 3 shots a day. So the different one came, and they're all talking and everything, and the daughter's telling her, you know, agreeing with the morphine thing and everything. And then they called me in the meeting and asked me what I thought. So I told them. I said, I'm with her more than anybody. I said, I've been with many patients. I know when they're ready to go. She is not ready to go. In my heart, she is not ready to go. I'm not God, but, you know, I don't feel like she's ready to go. Her pain isn't, she doesn't have pain that much. She does have a pain patch on for migraines, and, you know, if she aches, she can tell me, and I give her Tylenol. So I said, I can't do it. I said, I can't give her the morphine. I said, if it was my cancer patients that I've taken care of, yes, absolutely, or somebody in chronic pain, absolutely. I said, but I can't do it with her. So one of the daughters kind of agreed with me, and she goes, well, can't we have it changed so that we can just administer morphine to her as needed for severe pain? And she said yes, and she changed it. She hasn't had a shot in 2 weeks. She hasn't had morphine in 2 weeks. But that day, they took her vitals, and she was almost flatlined. Her vitals were seriously, dangerously low. So in front of the daughters, I said, isn't her vitals low because she's had morphine for 2 days, 6 shots of it? And they said, absolutely. And I just looked at the daughters and I said, I cannot do it. So that's when they said, you know, give it to her as needed. Well, she hasn't needed it. But I said, why do they put her on it anyways? And the nurse said, well, because she couldn't tell us how her pain level was from 1 to 10. I said, well, she can't comprehend time. She doesn't, you know, I said, she tells me when she's in pain. I said, she tells me my knee hurts, I put arthritis cream on it. I ache and, you know, have aches and pains, I give her Tylenol and she's fine. So I think it was like a day and a half later off of morphine, the two daughters were there again, well, all three daughters was there again. And she's coming around, she's doing good. You know, I gave her a bath, I'm doing her hair and everything. So one of the daughters come in, and they kept saying, Mom, we know you want to go with Dad. You want to go with Dad. Just close your eyes and go with Dad. The daughter leaves the room. She looks at me. She goes, what is she, nuts? So, you know, I mean, there's no way she ever said, was depressed or ever said, I want to go or I hate this world. No, she has all these plans. Actually, she wants her ears pierced tomorrow. But they said, well, do you want something to eat? And she goes, yeah. And they go, what do you want? She goes, I want a steak. So I found a hamburger patty, and I cut it up, and she had that and a baked potato. This is after her vitals were, after she was almost flatlined. Next day, I made her a big, thick lamb chop, baked potato, vegetable, strawberry shortcake. I mean, she's been eating like, I don't know what. But I mean, she's fine again. She's getting a perm tomorrow and everything. But I didn't know, should I quit? I just did not know what to do other than my heart broke because I wanted to just be with her and not desert her and everything. And Pastor said, God will work it out. And he worked it out good, better than I could ever imagine.
Awesome. That is awesome. For those that were here that day, if you'd have seen Sandy, how distraught she was and concerned, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we just prayed. Yeah. We said, you know what? God will show you what to do. You do what God tells you to do. And thank God she did. Hallelujah. It's awesome what God will do if you will just trust Him. Put it in His hands and trust Him. I can imagine in the next couple of weeks when one of the daughters takes a look at their mom and says, Sandy, where did this tattoo come from? It's like... You never know. Sarah Shell has had something in her heart to share for a while now, and I keep forgetting. You all need to pray for my memory. I've been trying to remember names. It's a difficult thing for me, but other things too. You know, Sarah wants to share, and she reminded me this morning. She goes, I wasn't going to remind you, but somebody's got to remind me. If I've ever, and you know what, I'm going to put this out there. If you're waiting on me for something, to kind of initiate, you told me about something and it's going to this, remind me, please, because I might have forgotten. Sarah might not be the only one. I might have forgotten something else. I have no idea. But God help me. Sarah, would you come and share what God has put on your heart? And forgive me for waiting so long. Yeah, I think so.
It's probably been, I don't know, at least 3 weeks ago or better. I went to a workshop with Kylie Wolf, and we went down near Port Jervis. And what the lady was teaching on was how to share the gospel with your clients. And also one of the things was to be able to get your testimony down, concise, with scriptures involved in it, and to be able to share this with the clients. So the only thing was that part of it she kind of skipped over pretty fast, and I still have to look it over. But anyway, it was really interesting because she had like different blocks, and then you would put different things in the block to help you with your testimony. Well, the first block was she had different words that would kind of show what you were going through at the time you came to the Lord or thereabouts. So I'm looking at the words, and one of them was self-identity. You know, thank you. Like who you are in Christ. When I first came to the Lord, I was only 10. So I really didn't think about a lot of things then. You know, you're young, you know. But as I got older, I started wondering about a lot of things. I lived with my grandmother from the time I was 3 until I was 12, and then I went home to live. At that time, my parents had come to church and and had accepted the Lord as their Savior and felt that I needed to go home. Well, I always wondered, why was I with my grandmother, you know? And so finally, when I got older, I mean, I was married before I actually asked, why was I with her? And I found out that my dad didn't want me because I was a girl. For him, you know, old-fashioned dad, you're not a man without a son. So my mom got pregnant pretty quick after me, and 11 months later, my brother came along. So according to my mom, you know, I was kind of misused and wasn't treated right. So that's why she ended up letting me go with my grandmother. So all these years, I mean, when I went home to live and everything, I just, you know, really felt like I wasn't loved, you know, and I had trouble understanding God's love for me. And I've struggled for years for this and been up and down with that. Well, a few Sundays ago, Pastor was telling about how in the last days, young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. I guess that means old ladies too. Anyway, it was like the Wednesday night after that, I had this dream. And it started out that I thought it was me trying to share with somebody how much I loved them, you know, and appreciated them and you know, wanted to be with them. And they just were like, they didn't want to spend time with me. They didn't recognize, you know, that they cared anything about me and didn't want to take opportunity to be with me. So I'm like, you know, but I really love that person. And suddenly I realized that wasn't me doing the loving. That was Jesus. And Jesus was telling me how much he loved me. So I'm like, well, that's cool. And then the Lord said something to me. And when I woke up, I got right up and went and wrote it down because it meant so much to me and I didn't want to forget it. And he said, you are a reflection of my love for you. Is that awesome or what? You know, how much God loves me, you know, and that's where my identity is. And he also says he sees my full potential. You know, I don't understand all that God has for me, but he knows. And then he said, this is what unconditional love is all about. And he also said one other thing, that this was a personal revelation for me. And as I share with other people, they may or may not understand, you know, but that's okay, because that was something that God had for me. So I just wanted to share it with you because I thought it was kind of neat.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sarah. God's timing is amazing. I did not know all of what Sarah was going to share. And though I am forgetful, and she had to remind me, today was a perfect day for her to share that because she talked about her identity in Christ. And that goes right along with what I'm going to be sharing today. You know, not being, letting your identity be Christ in you. You know, when people look at you, who do they see? Hopefully they see Jesus. Because if they, you know, when you're looking up here, looking at me, hopefully you see Jesus. Because if you see me, you'll probably run out the door. Never mind. Amen. Thank you for that, Sarah. And you know what? That's a good word for anybody. If you're struggling with your identity, go find it in Jesus. Let him become your identity. It'll change everything about you. We just sang a song, there's a blessed time, it's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. Look in your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is a time that is very near. Things are going to change very quickly. And we need to be aware of what is taking place right now. And we need to be aware of where our identity is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Now, catch that phrase. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Do you know? Do you understand? Are you aware and are you conscious and alert to the idea that Jesus is soon to appear? Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I want to share an encounter I had in a parking lot Wednesday. We pulled in for prayer, and there was somebody parked in the parking lot, and we didn't know who it was until I got out and I went over to speak to the person. I thought it was somebody else, and it didn't turn out to be the somebody else, but it turned out to be somebody that I knew from high school. And it was somebody who had when they were younger, had grand mal seizures all the time. And she had brain surgery. And like a quarter of her brain was removed. And in our conversation, as it turned out, she just wanted to park there because she had a truck and a trailer, you know, a pickup truck and a trailer, and she needed to go get her hair done over next door, and she didn't have room to get in over there. And so she just wanted to know if she could park there. But as I'm talking to her, I mean, she showed up in our parking lot, and she wanted to, she didn't know whose church this was. She didn't know that she was going to run into a high school classmate. She just wanted to know if she could park somewhere. In the conversation, she started talking about corruption in the world and this and that. She looked at me, she goes, "He's coming soon." And so as soon as she said that, my mind sparked and I knew she knows something about Jesus. And I asked, "How do you know that he's coming soon?" She goes, "I can just feel it." I said, "Well, what church do you go to?" She goes, "I don't go to church. But I know he's coming soon." And I was taken back a little bit. I'm like, how does somebody who does not go to church, who does not read her Bible, I asked that question too. How does this person know that Jesus is coming? He says, "I just know it." And in that conversation, I learned that she really didn't know the Bible. She didn't know what salvation was about. She didn't know. All she knew was that Jesus is coming soon. And so I shared the gospel with her, and she received it right there. Right there. And I prayed with her. And she goes, "Now I know why I'm here. I think God sent me to this parking lot today to meet you." And she told me, she goes, "You can tell the people in that church that somebody with a quarter of a brain today saw the light, or a quarter of a brain missing, saw the light. And he's coming. He's coming soon." I'll share in a little bit why I believe that is significant. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for confirmation in the spirit of what you're doing in earth and in heaven right now. God, help us to receive your word. Help us to prepare our hearts. Help us to put Christ on in order that when people see us, they see you. Let your love work in us and through us, that your light would shine brighter than anything else that comes out of our lives. Bless this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 45. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking to them. You know, that's really interesting. What had been taking place is Jesus was talking about parables and how he was the stone and how the builders cast the stone aside, and he turns out to be the chief cornerstone, and he talks about how the kingdom of God will be taken out of their hands and given to somebody else. And the Pharisees perceived he was speaking to them. You know, it's really interesting. It says they perceived he was speaking to them. Non-believers, a lot of them, you don't have to really tell them all the ins and outs. They already know. They already know that God, because God has been speaking to their hearts. They perceive that they're not where they should be in God. And it says there, right after that, it says, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. I pray for the day when those who want to reject Jesus will have fear of the church. It says they had fear. They wouldn't touch him. They wanted to lay hands on him. And I know I've been in situations where I'm telling somebody about Jesus, and you know what? They don't want to hear it. And it's there's some people that are ready to punch me in the mouth. Say, would you please shut up? But the Pharisees, they feared those who believed in Jesus. Oh, God, that this nation would fear the church again. And I don't mean in a nasty way, but I mean have reverence for God and have fear for, you know, living lives that are unrighteous and that kind of thing. But it goes on to say, it says in verse 22, Jesus answered and spoke to them by parables. It says Jesus answered. Who did he answer? He answered the Pharisees who wanted to kill him. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Wow, that's a very scary verse. You know, it's disheartening when we share the gospel and it's not received, but the truth of it is that there are some that are not willing to come. Continue praying. Continue that God will lead you to those who will be willing to come. You know, don't not share the gospel with those who aren't willing. But don't be left distraught and give up because some won't come. Some won't come. They weren't willing to come. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. Anybody know somebody who's made light of the gospel? You've told them about Jesus, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Wow. Verse 7, but the king heard about it, and he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, and you know, just a little note there, Jesus is so... The details of what Jesus says is so incredible. The Jews, when he was walking on the earth, rejected him. That's why they crucified him. And in AD 70, Jerusalem was burnt to the ground. Is that a direct fulfillment of this particular parable? Perhaps. Then verse 8, he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. Thank you, Jesus. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so how does all this tie together? This encounter that I had in the parking lot with somebody who just like knows he's coming. And what we were told in Thessalonians about Jesus appearing in the sky, and taking with him the dead in Christ and then those who remain alive when he appears. And now this story about God's kingdom and how it's like a wedding where there are people who have been invited, but they reject the invitation. So then he goes out and invites anybody who will come. I want you to know something. You sitting here today, you have been invited. And if you will come, if you will show up to the wedding, and if you will put on wedding garments, you'll remain a part of the kingdom of God forever. Since the beginning of time, God has been inviting mankind into his presence, but not all who are called will come. And God makes it clear that it doesn't matter whether you're a good person or a bad person when he invites you. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter what your background is, where you've been, what you've done. It does not matter. Keep that in mind. You know, I see these posts on Facebook. Somebody gets caught, gets arrested, does something terrible. And other people will exploit the, oh, look at this so-and-so. He did this terrible, horrible thing. Yeah, it is a terrible and horrible thing. But you know what? Jesus is calling that guy too. And we need to keep things into perspective. We were sinners. We still are. Yet he calls us. What was that? Saved by grace. Hallelujah. And so when we're out there, let's not exploit somebody else's sin. Let's advance the kingdom of God. Amen. And so God makes it clear it doesn't matter whether you're a good person or a bad person when he invites you. But what matters is that you answer the call and you put on the right garments when you come in. Don't worry about, you know, getting yourself cleaned up before you get called or before you get invited into God's kingdom. Come on in. But as we see in this portion of Scripture, it matters once you come in what you're wearing. Sarah mentioned this morning, Jesus showed her what to wear. Wear me. Wear Jesus. Stop being you and start being him. The only reason I'm able to do what I do here in this place is because I've learned how to not be me, but rather be him. And you know what? He doesn't take away our personalities. Don't get confused. Because each of us are unique in our own way. He created us that way for a purpose. I think God loves variety. And so, yeah, my personality is still there. I mean, I'm a happy guy. I like to joke around. And sometimes I like to just have fun and things like that. And sometimes it comes out even when I'm preaching. And sometimes I can't help it. But believe me, when I'm doing what God's called me to do, people don't need to see me. They need to see Jesus in me. And they need to see Jesus in you. And so it matters that you answer the call first. Answer the call. He's been calling me. I remember he called me from a little child. It took me years and years and years to figure out that it was him calling me. But if you look back, you'll realize that there were times in your life before you came to the Lord, unless you're like my wife or maybe Sarah, those who got saved at really young ages. There were times all the way through our lives until we finally answered the call that he was beckoning the whole time. And so answer the call. But you know what? When you come in for the wedding, where'd that song go? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. Oh, we're pretty vile when we first walk into church, most of us. God wants to do a work in us. He wants to put new garments on us. He wants to take the unrighteousness out and put righteousness in. He wants to take our sin and make us pure and make us holy. The Bible tells us that we need holiness. Without such, nobody will see God. And the only way we get that is through him. Thank you, Pamela, for paying attention. I forgot to flip the slide earlier. Those who refuse the invitation will not be allowed in. There were those who were invited, and they chose not to come. There were those who were invited, and they took light of it. They thought light of it. They didn't, I got too much going on over here. Well, guess what? You refuse the invitation, and you will not be allowed in to the party. Remember, he's coming soon. His kingdom is prepared for all of us. And we've been invited. And so please answer the call. Answer the invitation. But those who refuse the invitation won't be allowed in. And those who haven't changed will not be allowed to stay in. This is very important. We need to understand this. Since you've come to Christ, I hope that you have seen changes in your life. I know my life completely changed. Hallelujah. There's a difference between the guy I was before Jesus and the guy I am today. And I'm still changing. I still, strive. After 30-some years, I'm still striving to get more of Jesus in me. To get more of Jesus on me. Hallelujah. And so let me ask you a question. You've been invited. You come to the church. You show up faithfully. Oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Has it changed your life? Has your faith changed your life? Are you still the same person before you said, oh, I believe in him? Or are you different now? If you're not different, then there's work to do. Because what happened to the guy who didn't change when he came into the wedding? Hog-tied and hauled out. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, I want y'all to learn something from this young lady right here. I preached at the black church over on North Street a while back, and it was so much fun because I don't know if it's the black culture but they respond to preaching. It's like, whoa, yeah, that's good stuff. It's very encouraging, sister. And you know what? There's something, when it's real, it has an impact. And we should respond. We should have an action. That's why people, every now and again, you'll hear when somebody's preaching, they'll be like, amen, brother. Why? Because there's some truth there. There's something real that touched me. And so don't be afraid to throw a little hallelujah, praise God out there, or whatever, or they got hog-tied and hauled out on that, whatever. I'm okay with that. Those who refuse the invitation won't be allowed in, and those who haven't changed won't be allowed to stay in. I don't want... Jesus said to God, he said, I didn't lose any one of them. Save the son of perdition in order that Scripture could be fulfilled. And he's talking about Judah. He said, God, Father, when he prayed, you can look at one of Jesus' prayers. I think it's in Matthew. I'm not so sure, but I think it's in there. But when he prayed... So don't take me, when I say that, I think it's in there. Go look for yourself. You'll see, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I got given a compliment last night. There was a brother who said, oh, I don't know that I have Scripture memorized like you do. I don't, believe me, I don't have it memorized either. I know what it says. I just can't always tell you where it is. But Jesus said, Father, all that you gave me, I have kept. You know what? Jesus wants to keep every one of us. John chapter 3:16. This is the invitation. We've all been given the invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the invitation. Believe in Jesus Christ. There's nothing profound about it. There's nothing deep and mystical about it. Just believe in Jesus Christ. You've been given the invitation to believe in Christ. Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus said to his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Answer the invitation. You've been given the invitation. Now answer the invitation. Take up your cross and follow him. Show up to the party. Don't make light of it. Don't kill the servant for coming and inviting you. This is the invitation. This is the calling. And it doesn't matter whether you're a good person or a bad person. That's the invitation for you. It's the same invitation I got. You know, when somebody puts out a wedding, they get all these invitations. They're all identical, and they have the time and the date and the people involved and all that, and everybody gets the same invitation. I got the invitation. You got the invitation. I showed up to the party. Hallelujah. You're here today. Thank God you showed up for the party. I wish to God that this place were filled today of people showing up. Hey, I got this invitation. That's the invitation. But I really want to talk about the change. Look at Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. This I found very interesting. This next thing that we're going to talk about, the change. Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. There's a heading on the top of my little that paragraph in my Bible, right at the beginning of verse 11. And it goes on to talk about, and that's why I said, you know, I think God's timing is better than my memory. And having Sarah share that this morning was so timely. The heading at the top of what this paragraph says in my Bible says, put on Christ. You want to know what the change is? You want to know what putting on the wedding garment is and being allowed to stay in the party? Put on Christ. It says in verse 11, and do this. There are words in the Bible there are certain things that it's just like, oh God, what's your will? It tells you, do this. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Right out in the parking lot, tell them that somebody with a quarter of their brain missing knows that Jesus is coming. The time is nearer than ever before. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What's the wedding garment that we need to be wearing when we show up to the party? It's Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. And that's the way it is with all of us. We need to take off ourselves and put on Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you show up to the party of God, you better be a brand new creature. You better not be you anymore. You better be more like him. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. What new man? Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You put Jesus Christ on, you're going to look good. You're going to have the right garment on to stay at the wedding feast. People are going to be able to tell. And you know, I was going to wear jeans today just to make a point. Because I know that the Assemblies of God used to do this 2 years ago. Or not 2 years ago, but they used to do this years ago. And some still do. You know, if you don't have the right clothes on, don't even come to church. Remember the first time I preached here after you voted me in as pastor and I wore those greasy old jeans and that nasty old hooded orange sweatshirt and all tore up? Remember that? What? We just voted this guy in? I did that for a purpose. You remember? Do you remember the purpose? I was hunting for wolves. I said, these look like hunting clothes. And how am I going to know if you're a wolf? The first person that says, can you believe the way that pastor watered the flowers today? It's all right. It's just water. Can you believe how that pastor dressed today? Oh, that's how I know if you're a wolf or not. I'm not worried about the clothes you wear, although we do need to dress modestly. We don't need stuff hanging out that shouldn't be hanging out. I mean, just being honest. But if you wear jeans, if you wear shorts, if you wear... Pastor McCarthy told me last night, I'm wearing jeans. I'm like, praise God, I am too. Yeah, yeah, thank you so much. You know, this woman right here is just such a servant. Thank you so much. And she doesn't want any recognition. Thank you, Lord. She needs more. Somebody want to help her out? That's all right. It'll be all right. It's just water. Can you believe that pastor spilled his water all over the communion table? Sarah's like, yeah, by now I can believe anything. Hey, amen. It's a good thing it didn't turn into wine before it hit the table. Praise the Lord. I did ask for a reaction, didn't I? Amen. This is the change, to be in Christ, to put on the new man. It's not about, you know, the story said, well, how'd you get in here without wedding clothes on? It's not about the fabric that's on your skin, it's about the person that's within. Who are you? You ever have that question asked you? Who are you anyway? Hopefully we're very recognizable. Hopefully every single one of us, doesn't matter where we show up, they see Jesus. What does a change look like? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. You guys didn't know we were going to have a baptism service today, did you? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. This is what the change looks like. You yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What's the bond of perfection? Love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to be to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. That's what the change looks like. Write that portion of Scripture down. Put it on your refrigerators. Read it each day. What am I supposed to look like today, Jesus? Here it is. Put on the new man, verse 10 said, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Do you think that appearance matters to God? Do you think that the appearance matters to God? That little phrase there, according to the image of him who created him. Turn in your Bible. Well, I'll just show it to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. In verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Do you think it's important what we look like in God's eyes? Yeah. I think God takes it very seriously. There is a reason why he created us in his image. And now there is a reason why in the New Testament, after Adam and Eve had fallen, sin enters the world. We're all born sinners. And we all, now, God wants to transform us back into his image. What is the wedding garment that you better have on? Jesus Christ. His image. Our appearance mattered in the beginning, and it matters now. And this is the last portion of Scripture I'll share with you today. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. What's he doing? He's restoring us right back to what he created us to be. Isn't that awesome? But let me tell you something. You don't put that image on and you show up to the meeting, you're getting kicked out. It's as easy as that. You want eternal life? You want what that invitation offered you? You need to put on the image of Christ. We need to put on the image of Christ. This message is for everybody. God has called you. It says, whom he did foreknow. How many of us did God foreknow? Raise your hand if you think God foreknew you. Every hand should be in the air. Whom he did predestinate. What's that mean? He has put in place a plan where you and I can be saved and you and I can have eternal life. He put it in place. We're predestined. Do you know that? But you know what? Depending on what we do with the image of Christ depends on our final destination. You see, he predestined us for eternal life. But there is another destiny that if we don't put on the image of Christ, we will end up at. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. In other words, he invited, just like that story that Jesus told. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Now, I share that last portion of that verse because I want to give you some hope and some help. You and I can't do it on our own. We cannot put on the image of Christ. We can't just walk up and say, I'm Jesus. It's not going to happen. A costume won't make it in heaven. It's got to be authentic. And the only one who can make it authentic is Jesus Christ. And that's why when we come to the party, we come on our knees, we come understanding our weakness, and we ask God, change me. God, save me. I want to have on the right garments because I want to stay at the party. And so what it says there is those he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Who's doing the work there? Jesus is. So what's our job? The good and the bad. Our job, show up to the meeting. And when Jesus comes along and says, here, put this on, put it on. Put what on? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him dying for our sin and being raised from the dead. We who believe in him shall be raised also. Isn't that wonderful? I want to encourage you today to take a look at your image. What are you wearing? Are you wearing Jesus Christ? Have you changed since you came into the party? Because the time is coming soon. It says that he sent his servants out again. You see, the party was, the first call was, hey, there's going to be a wedding. We all get those invitations. There's going to be a wedding. Save the date. The first call was a save the date. And then when the date came, it was almost time. A reminder went out, hey, the time's coming. And they're like, no, we're not coming. And then there was a final last-minute call because the meal is already cooked. Could you imagine if you planned out a wedding? We had 250 people ready for the... We had a wedding ready for 250 people. Food's all cooked. Everything's been prepared. The tables are all set. Everything is there. And then could you imagine if nobody showed up? What are you going to do? Well, let's go down the street and see who we can gather up. Because we got a lot of food here. Somebody's got to eat it. Hold on. Here, share it with us.
I just heard a story on the Christian radio of a lady that was getting married, and I don't remember the circumstances, but the wedding was canceled. Like, it was a prenup she didn't agree with, and she didn't marry the guy, but everything was too close to the wedding date to cancel. Food was purchased, and she went out, and she lavished unfortunate... Yep. She went to the homeless, and she just lavished all that goodness on the less fortunate, and it was just so cool, because you said God calls the good and the bad, and she was expecting the good, or her family and friends or whatever. That didn't happen. So instead of wasting that good, she lavished it out on those less fortunate.
Amen. Now, I just want to... Sure.
Hallelujah.
Here, let me...
The scripture that Pastor was sharing, and he said it was in Matthew somewhere, I knew there was more to it. So I looked it up. And it's in Matthew 19:20. It says, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, but what do I still lack? That's a big deal, because even though we may have known the Lord since, you know, we were quite young, he still wants to give us more. We're lacking, you know.
What do I still lack? Well, let me tell you something. If you lack the garment of Jesus Christ on you, that's a big lack. Sure.
And once again, God is right on time.
Hallelujah.
I hadn't been to church in a couple of weeks, but this morning he woke me up and said, you're going to church today. Mm. And Pastor knows that one of the things that I've been listening in my heart is the Lord telling me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And it's funny how Pastor has been preaching. I want to cry. I have what they call a weeping spirit. Ooh, amen. And when I got here, I usually, when I come in while you guys are singing, I'll pray first, you know. I pray for Pastor, and I pray for the church, for this Holy Spirit to run through this place and to heal and to give everybody strength, renew their strength while they're here. You know, it's something I always do when I come in. And once in a while, a scripture will pop in my head. And today's scripture was Psalms 78:7-8. But I decided to go up to the top and read it. If you don't mind, I'd like to read it.
Go ahead.
And it's just funny how, just God moving. It says, "O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of his power and his mighty miracles he did. For he issued his decree to Jacob, for he gave his law to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children, so each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering his glorious miracles and obeying his command. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, brother. The story that Jesus told, the parable, there was an invitation that went out, and then there was a call to show up, and nobody showed up. He sent his servants out. And when I was pondering that portion of Scripture, I was pondering, okay, God, who are the servants? Are the servants the saints who are already saved, going to the lost and preaching the gospel to them, inviting them into God's kingdom? Are the servants angels who go out and speak to the hearts of people, drawing them to God? Are the servants simply the Holy Spirit? The time is near. And I believe that's why I had that encounter in the parking lot with somebody who didn't know the Bible, doesn't go to church. The Holy Spirit is calling the good and the bad to himself. Why? Because the feast is ready. The meal has been prepared. It's time. We are in the last days. I believe what it says there in Thessalonians, what we read there at the beginning. We are about to hear a trumpet blast and the voice of the archangel. We're going to see Jesus in the sky. Now, this may sound strange. If you're not into, you know, the Bible and things, this may sound strange, but you know what? I didn't write it. I just believe it. The time is soon. And this message really today is just simply to encourage you. Jesus is showing up. Make sure you have your wedding garment on. And that is the image of Christ, that which we were originally created to be. Stand with me and we'll pray. And by the way, if you do come up to the altar at some point this morning, just be careful of this piece of glass here. I don't want to start I've already made a mess of things. I don't want it to get any worse. Father, I thank you for the call. I thank you for the invitation. And I thank you, God, that everybody in this place has heard enough and responded by at least walking into this building. But God, I pray that it's more than just showing up at a church service. I pray, God, that we would be prepared and that we would come to the wedding feast where Jesus, our groom, meets with the church, his bride. And God, I pray for everyone in this place that if we haven't figured it out yet, God, that we would learn how to take off the old man and put on the new. Lord, that we would have the proper garment on to be able to stay in that wedding feast and not be cast out. I pray for every heart and mind and soul that is here today, that we would receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we would put him into our lives, put him on our lives, so that when people look at us, they no longer see the old man, but they see Jesus. Lord, you created us in your image, and you are now conforming us back to your image, saving us from our sin and putting righteousness on us. And we are so grateful and thankful. God, may we be prepared for that eternal life that you have called us to. But Lord, may it be Jesus in us that responds. Lord, where we're weak, I pray that you will do a greater work. We can't change ourselves. We need you to do the change for us. And so, Father, I pray for anyone here in this place who have struggled with sin and just can't conquer it. God, I pray you remove that sin right now in Jesus' name. Give them power in your name, through your Spirit, to be able to hold up a shield of faith that will quench every fire dart that's thrown at them. Help us, oh God, to find the escape routes when sin and temptation comes our way, because we want to be righteous and holy before you. And so, Lord, do this work in us, justifying us, glorifying us through the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to open this altar for anyone. Maybe you've heard the call, maybe you've answered the call, but maybe you haven't quite put the garment on yet. If that's you, I want you to come up here and I want you to ask God to take the old man out and put the new man in. If you're willing to do that today, then don't hesitate. Just run to the altar and ask God to do a complete work in you. That's what the Bible says. He says that he will complete what he started. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Let's get real with God today. Let's not play games. Because it's not a game. And when he shows up in the sky, we better have on what we need to have on. And that is the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these who've responded, and I pray, oh God, for those who perhaps maybe yet linger and are afraid. May our hope for a future with you be greater than our fear, because there is a time, and it's coming soon. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. So we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming in power, and we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. God, I thank you that you created us originally in your image. And I thank you, God, even though we've fallen, you restore us to your image. And God, we thank you that you call us to yourself. You have invited us into your kingdom. God, I pray that we all would answer that call, that we would not take it lightly. God, I pray that this city, not just one here or one there, but this city would be transformed. That when people think of Geneva, that they would think of Jesus. I pray, God, that Geneva would be known because Jesus dwells, lives inside of each of those individuals who have turned their hearts to you. Bring revival here, oh God. As we put off the old man and we put on Christ, let your kingdom come right here. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Because we truly want to be prepared and glorifying to you when you come. Bless each one as we're dismissed here in this place. Have your way in our hearts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a wonderful time with Pastor McCarthy. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. You see, He is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.